Chapter 11. His lips have said, "Too, oh, 'tis a fine May morn, they say, and blooms have blown. But wild and wintry is my day, my birds make moan. For he who vowed, leaves me to pay alone alone." The milkmaid, under a daisied bank there stands a rich red ruminating cow, and hard against her flank a cotton-hooded milkmaid bends her brow. The flowery river ooze upheaves and falls, the milk purrs in the pail. Few pilgrims but would choose the peace of such a life in such a vale. The maid breathes words to vent, it seems, her sense of nature's scenery, of whose life, sentiment, and essence, very part itself is she. She bends a glance of pain, and, at a moment, lets escape a tear. Is it that passing train, whose alien whir offends her country ear? Nay, Phyllis does not dwell on visual and familiar things like these. What moves her is the spell of inner themes and inner poetries. Could but by Sunday, morn her gay new gown come, meats might dry to dun, trains shriek till ears were torn, if Fred would not prefer that other one. The level churchyard. O passenger, pray list and catch our sighs and piteous groans, half stifled in this jumbled patch of wrenched memorial stones. We late lamented, resting here, are mixed to human jam, and each to each exclaims in fear, I know not which I am. Apostrophe, apostrophe, the wicked people have annexed the verses on the good. A roaring drunkard sports the text teetotal Tommy should. Where we are huddled none can trace, and if our names remain, they pave some path or peeing place, where we have never lain. There's not a modest maiden elf, but dreads the final trumpet, lest half of her should rise herself, and half some local strumpet. From restorations of thy fane, from smoothings of thy sword, from zealous churchman's pick and plane deliver us, O Lord. Amen. 1882. The ruined maid, O Amelia, my dear, this does everything crown. Who could have supposed I should meet you in town? And whence such fair garments, such prosper I tie? Oh, didn't you know I'd been ruined? Said she. Who left us in tatters, without shoes or socks, tired of digging potatoes, and spudding up docks, and now you've gay bracelets and bright feathers three. Yes, that's how we dress when we're ruined, said she. Tea home in the barton you said thee and thou, apostrophe and thicoon, apostrophe and feezoon, and tother. But now you're talking quite fitsy for high company. Some polish is gained with one's ruin, said she. Our hands were like paws then, your face blue and bleak, but now I'm bewitched by your delicate cheek, and your little gloves fit, as on any laudai. We never do work when we're ruined, said she. Who used to call home life a hag-ridden dream, and you'd sigh, and you'd sock, but at present you seem to know, not of megrims or melancho lie. True. There's an advantage in ruin, said she. Wish I had feathers, a fine sweeping gown, and a delicate face, and could strut about town. My dear, a raw country girl, such as you be, isn't equal to that. You ain't ruined, said she. Westbourne Park Villas, 1866. The respectable burger on the higher criticism. Since reverend doctors now declare that clerks and people must prepare to doubt, if Adam ever were, to hold the flood a local scare, to argue, though the stolid stare, that everything had happened ere the prophets to its happening swear, that David was no giant slayer, nor one to call a God-obeyer in certain details we could spare, but rather was a debonair shrewd bandit, skilled as banjo player. That Solomon sang the fleshly fair, and gave the church no thought wadder. That Esther with her royal wear, and Mordecai, the son of Jair, and Joshua's triumphs, Job's despair, and Balaam's ass's bitter blare, Nebuchadnezzar's furnace flare, and Daniel and the den affair, and other stories rich and rare, were it to make old doctrine wear something of a romantic air. That the Nain widow's only heir, and Lazarus with cadaverous glare, as done in oils by Piombo's care, did not return from Sheol's lair. That jail set a fiendish snare, that Pontius Pilate acted square, that never a sword cut Malchus's ear, and, but for shame I must forbear, that did not reappear. ... Since thus they hint, nor turn a hair, all church-going will I forswear, and sit on Sundays in my chair, and read that moderate man Voltaire. Architectural masks. I there is a house with ivied walls, and mullioned windows worn and old, and the long dwellers in those halls have souls, that know but sordid calls, and daily dote on gold. Two, and blazing brick and plated show not far away a ill a gleams, and here a family few may know, with book and pencil, vial, and bow, let inner lives of dreams. Three, the philosophic passers say, see that old mansion must and fair, poetic souls there are they. And oh that gaudy box! Away, you vulgar people there! The tenant for life, the sun said, watching my watering pot, oh morn you'll pass away. These flowers and plants I parch up hot, who'll water them that day? Those banks and beds whose shape your eye has planned in line, so true new hands will change, unreasoning why such shape seemed best to you. Within your house will strangers sit, and wonder how first it came. They'll talk of their schemes for improving it, and will not mention your name. They'll care not how, or when, or at what you sighed, laughed, suffered here, though you feel more in an hour of the spot than they will feel in a year, as I look on at you here now, shall I look on at these. But as to our old times, avow no knowledge hold my peace. Oh friend, it matters not, I say. Bethink ye, I have shined on nobler ones than you, and they are dead men out of mind. The king's experiment. It was a wet wan hour in spring, and nature met King Doom beside a lane, wherein Hodge trudged, all blithely ballading the mother's smiling rain. High warbles he that skies are fair and combs alight, she cried, and fallows gay, when I have placed no sunshine in the air, or glow on earth today. Tis in the comedy of things, that such should be, returned the one of Doom. Charge now the scene with brightest blazonings, and he shall call them gloom. She gave the word. The sun outbroke, all from sight shone, the hedge birds raised a song, and later Hodge, upon the midday stroke, returned the lane along, low murmuring. This bitter scene, and thrice accursed horizon hung with gloom. How deadly like this sky, these fields, these treen, the trappings of the tomb. The beldam then. He fool and blind. Such mad perverseness who may apprehend? Nay. There's no madness in it, thou shalt find thy law there, said her friend. Hen Hodge went forth twas to his love, to make her, ere this eve, his wedded prize, and earth, despite the heaviness above, was bright as paradise. And I sent on my messenger, with cunning arrows poisonous and keen, to take forth with her laughing life from her, and dull her little e'en, and e whiter cheek, and still her breath. Ere too buoyant Hodge had reached her side. So, when he came, he clasped her but in death, and never as his bride. And there's the humor, as I said. Thy dreary dawn he saw as gleaming gold, and in thy glistening green, and radiant red funereal gloom and cold. The tree an old man's story. Its roots are bristling in the air like some mad earth god's spiny hair. The loud southwester swell and yell smote it at midnight, and it fell. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.